our lives. You know, we all have to submit ourselves to the will of God, to the plan, to the purpose of God. I know I was a stubborn guy till about 20 years old, and then my stubbornity broke. And probably yourself as well. You come to a place in life where you just got to say, you know, I can't do this on my own. It's impossible for me to be a success. I was a big, fat failure. Doesn't matter whether you have money. Doesn't matter whether you have friends. You know, this word friend business, some of those friends can take you down the wrong way. And if you're a people pleaser and you like friends, sometimes those friends can send you on the wrong path. But thank God that God is always for us. He's never against us, and he's always has his best plan in store for our lives. Amen? And so when we submit ourselves to him, his plan, his purpose, things go a lot smoother. Amen? And sometimes you're dealing with other people, and because I've got four kids myself, and each kid is individual, and each kid knows, knows what they know, and each kid is special, and each kid has a plan and a purpose that God has made for them. So as we open up this morning, we're going to be talking about some things that are try to defeat God's people, and we want to come against those things. You know, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. It's not about me fighting you or you fighting someone else. It's a spiritual attack that we're in. Especially now in these end times, it's even more greater. And you have to know where the attack comes from. It's not from people. People are wonderful people. Aren't you wonderful? Yeah. Amen. Don't you feel that you've got it all together, especially with the things of God? But then other people come into your life, and then you have to deal with that as well. But the spiritual things are what we're going to be talking about this morning. The pastor mentions many times, spiritual growth is the most important for the church. Brother Hagin, a prophet of God, says God's going to move in the last days through his church. And so that's God's people. He's not just going to be, he does other things. Thank God for world evangelism. Thank God for big crusades. Thank God for different events. But he's going to move through the local church. And we thank God that you are part of that local church. So let's pray. Let's believe God. And then we'll get into the scriptures. Father, we want to thank you for your goodness and your great grace to us. Thank you that your hand is upon us. Thank you, Lord God, that you care for us, that you knew us when we were born. You knew it. You know us the day that we go home and celebrate in your great kingdom with all the saints of old that have gone on ahead of us. And so we say thank you. Open up our eyes to see and ears to hear what the Spirit of God is saying. We do want to have success in this life through you, through your principles, through your word. And as you guide and lead us, we thank you that each one of us here to come to the acknowledging that Jesus, you are Lord. And Father, you have a good plan for humanity. And we could be part of that plan. And that you have good things in store for our families and for our loved ones and for those that we come in contact with on a daily basis. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. And God's people said, amen. Amen. Well, let's go over to Deuteronomy 29. The title of this message is Defeat 'em. Amen. Defeat them. What are we defeating? Defeating those things that come against us. Over in Deuteronomy 29 and verse 7, when we came here, King Sihon of Heshbon and King Og of Bashan came out to fight against us, but we defeated them. Everybody say, fight against us. You know, there's things that fight against us on a daily basis. There could be negative thoughts. Things that come to us on a daily basis. And we have to fight against those things. If you don't fight against them, guess what? You will be defeated. You have to take authority of them. I think of Cain and Abel in the very beginning of the book there. They were two brothers that were born. And they came to church. They brought an offering. One brought Cain. He brought some grain. And there's nothing wrong with grain offerings at the right time to have a grain offering. But his brother brought an offering of a slain little animal. And the Bible says that Abel's offering was pleasing unto the Lord. God was pleased with Abel's offering. But Cain's offering, he said, no, this time you should have brought a lamb. He understood what it was, but he wanted to do it his own way. And when you do it your way, guess what? It's down the highway. But anyways, God came to him, and God always comes to us. And Cain and Abel, God came to Cain and talked to him, and he said unto him, why are you upset? If you do the right thing, you'll be accepted. I'll accept you. And Cain looked at him, and he was upset. And the Bible says, immediately after God spoke to him, he went and found his brother, took him out into a field, and killed him. Imagine that. God speaking to somebody, then in the next moment of time, he takes his brother out into the field and kills him dead. And so when God speaks to us, be careful what you do. Amen? No. But when God speaks to us, a lot of times he could speak to us, but whether we obey or not, it's our choice. And in that case, he didn't. But God said something unto Cain before he did that. He said, sin is crouching at the door. Imagine, I picture a lion or a lioness or some sort of animal that has big and he crouches over and he's ready to pounce on his prey. And God said to Cain, he said, sin is lying at your door and ready to pounce on you and have you, but you must master it. You must take authority over that thought. Amen? It was the evil thought from the devil to come and to say, you know, you should kill your brother. How horrible is that? That's horrible. Caleb says he likes when I cry. So there's the tears for Caleb. But he said, how horrible is that, that the enemy comes unto him and tests him and tries him. And of course, that's an extreme case. We're not talking about murder here. We are talking about murder, but we don't want to advocate it by any means. But it is a big temptation. And it could be any temptation in our life that when maybe it could be a temptation not to forgive somebody. Have you ever had that? Well, I'm going to show them. I'm going to give them the cold shoulder. I'm going to ignore them. Or I'm going to, you know, say something bad about them. You know, we all are tempted in different areas and different tests and different trials. Sometimes the things on the outside, Brother Hagin talked to the Lord Jesus Christ, and he said, I will judge my people more by their spiritual sins than their physical sins. Sometimes we see people acting wrong on the outside. We say, boy, those are bad people, the way they're acting. But a lot of times, it's on the inside. We could all look here in church. We look awesome, don't we? Amen. We look beautiful. But on the inside, we could harbor bitterness. We could harbor resentment. We could harbor racism, possibly. We could harbor anything. And so we have to deal with those things. If we don't deal with them, guess what? They'll deal with us. And if they deal with us, then we're in trouble. But we thank God we can deal with them because God's given us the power and authority. Over in Deuteronomy 29:7, it says, they came out to fight against us, but we defeated them. I just love that we defeated them. This is Old Testament, of course, but the Old Testament is types and shadows of the New Testament. And so we could learn a lot of things from the Old Testament. And so they came out to fight them, but we defeated them. And so I want that to get that very clear over to you this morning, that when things come against us, it's not impossible. It's only impossible when you put a label on impossible. But with God, all things are possible. You're dealing with the creator of the universe. You're dealing with one who made all the stars, billions of stars. He made the galaxies, and he made 7 billion people right now on earth, and he knows all about them. Amen? He knows all about Ignis. He knows all about different areas that we come from, and he cares for us. The compassion of the Lord is great, and his mercy endures forever. Amen? Only Satan has blinded the minds of them that don't believe. They think darkly. I remember I said, Lord, I'm not letting you pick a wife for me. Forget it. You don't even know what you're doing. I know what I'm doing. Well, after 30 years of trying to do it, guess what? At first it was 20 years up until I got born again. That was, it was amazing. It was just no, no, no. And these are nice, wonderful people. Amen? Wonderful people, but yet I knew something was amiss. And then for another 10 years. So when it comes to marriage, you got to pick what God wants. Amen? And do what God desires. Otherwise, you can have very hard turmoil and tests and trials. And so God knows all about us. Amen? I thank God for Pastor and Miss Anita. Thank God Father put them in charge and told them to start a church 25, 30 years ago. Amen. And now we're reaping the benefits. We're reaping the blessings. And we want our kids to reap the benefits. We want our kids to reap the blessings. Amen. My grandmother got born again kneeling by a radio. Now, did you have a radio? There was a guy over in Swan River, Manitoba, a pastor, Harbor Ankle. And he would preach there. And her husband... died at 43. He drank himself to death. Hey, I'm 50 now. So 43, I outlived him by a few years. But anyways, he drank himself to death. And so she was all there by herself. She had to raise seven, believe there's seven boys. And so it's hard to raise kids when you're by yourself. Wouldn't you agree? So she knelt there by the radio and prayed and got born again, my grandmother. And so thank God for her. Bless her darling heart. And so my mother got born again because of her. Her and my dad got married, and they built a little house, and it burnt down. So he had to go live with the in-laws. And so my mother went with her husband, my dad, John, went to go live with the in-laws. And so my mom looked at this lady. My mom's 24 years old. She says, "This lady is nuts. Absolutely nuts. Here she's praying by a radio," and she couldn't understand it. And that grandmother said, "Well, you're a sinner, and you must repent." That's just all she said. She basically said, "I'm not no sinner. I got married to John, you know, and I'm not a sinner." But then those words kept hitting her. And guess what? She got born again and accepted Christ. Now my mother is 77 years old, still serving God from 24 years old. Amen? So is God faithful? Yeah, he's faithful if we take him at his word. If we put those words into practice. My mom was very upset with us kids. There was five of us kids, and here she's serving God, but the kids don't seem to want to care. And she says she got alone with God and said, "God, what's going on?" Amen. Sometimes you got to get a little bit excited with the enemy and deal with him. And right after she had that time with God, my older brother got born again. His wife got born again. They were in an apartment. They visited a neighbor. And the neighbor happened to be a Pentecostal preacher's wife. Got born again. Amen. After those two got born again, I got born again. After I got born again, sent a bunch of material to my brother. Brother Hagen's material, Barry. Sent it to him. He read those things, and his wife used to say, "Oh, we got three Bibles in the house." Well, big deal. But anyways, he was watching television, so thank God for Spirit Alive, hey? He was watching television. Jack Van Impe was on television, and my older brother prayed. And he got born again. His wife saw what happened. She said, "Well, I don't want to be alone. I'm going to pray too." And she prayed, and she got born again. Amen? So things happen. Amen? And we thank God. We just don't want people to get born again, alive unto God, and then go by the wayside. We want to live our life out, and it's not that easy at times. But guess what? With God, he's faithful. Amen. He'll never leave you nor forsake you, and he's with you always, even until the end of the age. He loves your kids. He loves people. Even the ones you don't like, he loves them because he created them. Amen? He loves people. And he loves those, and he wants them born again, saved, and amen. This is a beautiful crowd here, but guess what? Heaven is magnified, multitudes of people born again, alive unto God, and loving every moment of it. So over in Deuteronomy 30, verse 11, it says, "This command I'm giving you today, it's not too difficult. It is not beyond your reach to keep it. It is not kept in heaven so distant that you must ask, who will go up to heaven and bring it down so we can hear it? It's not kept beyond the sea, so far away that you must ask, who will cross the sea and bring it to us and hear it and obey? No, the message is very close at hand. It's on your lips and in your heart so you can obey it." Amen? And Romans 10:8 says, "The word's near you, in your heart and on your lips." Sometimes people think, "Oh, I don't know what to do." Guess what? You know what to do. You are a spirit being. Whether your spirit is alive unto God, I don't know. You know. Whether you know, how many of you know the Lord here and are born again? So you know, your spirit is in contact with God's spirit. And so you know. And guess what? In the same way, we know what's right and we know what's wrong. And so God said, "I'll speak to you. I'm not so distant way in there that you don't know me. I'm very close at hand. I'm on your lips. I'm in your heart. I'm on your lips. I'm in your heart." To speak God's word, to have the scriptures that God says in our spirits, and to proclaim it, "Jesus, you are Lord," to the glory of God the Father. Thank you, Jesus. Also in Deuteronomy 30, 19, it says, I give you before you life and death, blessings and cursings. Therefore, choose life that you and your descendants might live. Here he's telling us, the creator of the universe is telling us, I've given you life and I've given you death. What are you going to have? Hey, life. Amen. We're going to have life and life more abundantly. I choose before you life and death, blessing and cursing. What are you going to have? Woo! I'm going to have blessing. As for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. Amen. I got that thing. I put it on the wall, Lukey boy. Amen. It's on the wall. Got to tell your kids, eh? As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Does that mean everything's perfect? No. Brother Hagin says, if you think you're going to go through life on flowery beds of ease, you got another thing coming. Amen. You're not going to lay there and just in silk and someone feed you grapes. And even if you were laying there and someone was feeding you grapes, you're still going to have tests. You're still going to have trials. Amen. God may send you to be Africa to be a missionary. You that are laying there eating grapes. Amen. Because God is a fair, just God. He's never unfair, ever. He's got equity on him. I could be unfair. At times, probably I am. But guess what? God is always fair. Everything. And when we get to heaven, we're going to see, oh, our lives, you are always fair and just. I made a mistake. I was wrong. I'm to blame. Forgive me for that. Amen? And the blood of Jesus cleanses you from all unrighteousness. Because Jesus, he was always fair. He was always just. And he read the hearts of men inside and out. He was an awesome man of God. Jesus, the Son of the living God. And yet he said, I went through it just for you. Just for you would know that I've washed you in my blood, cleansed you from all unrighteousness, and we have a beautiful home with him. So the number one thing we're supposed to defeat, I got three things that we got to defeat. Number one is we got to defeat wrong thinking. Amen? Wrong thinking will drive you to drinking. Amen? Wrong thinking will make you a stinking. Amen? Praise God. My wife told me that I stink a little bit. Sorry. Well, we saw this online that if you put onion juice on your head, it might grow your hair back. And so I gave it a try, but the house stinks. So I think Nathan told me that one. But anyways, so we don't want to stink, amen? I'm going to have to wash a little bit more. But anyways, so we want to have good thinking, right? Or we want to have clear thinking. How many times have you thought wrong and then later on you said, oh boy, my thinking got me in trouble. Yeah. Amen? Wrong thinking can get us in trouble. And when we think in line with the Bible, when we think in line with God's word, amen? Thank you, Jesus. And we do learn. Thank God for my mother, and thank God what we can do for our kids. But guess what? Kids are on their own, so to speak, and they must come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ as their own personal Lord and Savior. Amen? That's the loving God. Jesus was 12 years old, and he wanted to be about his Father's business. That means God works on kids young. I remember I was 8 years old, and I was at kids' camp, and it was a Pentecostal camp, and I went there, and they were getting saved there, Pastor Steve. People were getting saved, but I said, I'm not going to go for that right now, because I'm a very important person, and I'm not going to do that. Maybe later when I get older, but I want to kiss a girl first. Yeah. They had this thing that they were using licorice, eh? And you put one person on that side and one person on this side, and they meet in the middle. Kind of like that Walt Disney show. So I didn't give my heart to the Lord back then, because I wanted to check some things out first and see. So I think I got two kisses that year. And so I'm a bad guy. But after up to 20 years old, 19 actually, I said, no more, amen? And when I knelt by that little park, Not in Kenora, Ontario, but Kenora, Saskatchewan. I knelt there. I said, oh, God, please, if there's anything you could do, please help me. Amen. A sincere cry if I'm a dying man. And God met me there. Amen. And he'll meet every one of us. He can meet you in a sanctuary, but he can meet you at home. Amen. He can meet you in your car. He can meet you in the outhouse. He can meet you. Amen. Because God is not limited by us. Amen. In some ways he is, but he's not limited by where he can get to you. Amen. He knows how to push your button in the right way to soften your heart towards him. And thank God he does. Amen. Praise. Let's lift up our hands. Let's thank him. Thank you, Lord God, that you'll never leave us. You'll never forsake us. You're working on us right now. God, you're working on us right now. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Right when I got born again, and then somebody gives me a tape, hey? I didn't realize. I just was happy I'm saved. And it was a kid's tape. Imagine somebody gets born again, they're all excited, and it was a kid's tape, and I put it in. Oh, I thought I had the world by the tail. Hey, here I am. He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. It took him just a week to make the moon and the stars, the sun and the earth and Jupiter and Mars. How loving and patient he must be. He's still working on me. Amen. I thought, boy, this is great. But only later on, I find out that that's a kid's tape, hey? If they would have gave me some kind of hallelujah, or some kind of a jubilee, ooh, I'd be doing that. But we got to defeat wrong thinking. Romans 1:28 says, since they thought it foolish not to acknowledge God. Oh, my Lord Jesus, please. Oh, since they thought it foolish not to acknowledge God, the creator of the universe. Oh, imagine calling him foolish. And I've had people that they've said it. My neighbor, he's dead now, bless his heart. Over, I was back home single, and I'm born again. I'd go see Fred. Fred had money. Fred was he was very smart up here. But Fred, and he worked with doing those things on the lathe, Brother Dave. He would make all these things. He would tell me, Ken, you know, I'd actually preach to him, and he'd sit there and look at me. He said, when you're dead like a dog. He would tell me. He was so hard. I tried everything possible. I brought him treats, and he liked me coming around. And I did my best, amen? I did my best for him, and when I get to heaven, I'll look and see if he somehow, some way made it through the darkness, through the night. Because guess what? Brother Hagin said he was on his way to hell after he stopped breathing, and he's coming up to the gates of hell. Three times he went once, he came back, he went another time, then the third time he said, God, be merciful to me! And he had an opportunity to accept Christ. He came back out of the grave, out of there, and into his lifeless body, and picked up his prayer where he was speaking. Woo! God's good, eh? Right at the last minute, the last second, and then his body picked up what he was saying in the spirit. Because you are a spirit. You possess a soul, and you live in a body. So this wrong thinking, since they thought it foolish to acknowledge God, he abandoned them to their foolish thinking, to let them do whatever should be done. Gave them a choice to think. What should we do? We got to do something with stinking thinking. Amen? Over in Philippians says, we are the ones that are to think on things that are true, lovely, of a good report. It might be true. You know, abuse is true that it had happened, but it's not lovely. So I'm not going to think on it. I'm not going to meditate on it. Amen? There might be things on the news, we hear them all the time, and they're corrupt and they're bad, and so we're not going to just think on those things. Yes, it's true, it did happen. But guess what? God says, don't think on those things. Sometimes he even goes, and I know sometimes we joke around about alcohol and about drugs and maybe about sexual innuendos and stuff, but guess what? It's not pleasing to God. Amen? He doesn't take any pleasure in an addict or a drunk. He does not. And so sometimes we in our light humor could maybe say something, but God, he doesn't even want you to dwell on it. He says, whatsoever things are true in Philippians 4, 7 and 9, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, if they're just, if they're pure, if they're lovely, of a good report, not a bad report, if there be any virtue, if there be any things, think on these things. So God tells us right there to think on those things. Is anybody lacking peace here? Is there somebody that doesn't have peace? It says, these things will give you peace. To think on things that are true, that are lovely, that have a good report. If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Then the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall guard your heart and the mind. Amen. Anytime I get out of peace, or anytime I get out of joy, and if I get out of rest, spiritually speaking, I say, okay, God, I missed it. I'm the big failure. I'm wrong. I'm going to go back. I'll backtrack my steps, and I'll say, Lord, wherever it is, I'm sorry. Okay? This flesh, the Bible says, Paul, he puts a bit in its mouth, so to speak. That means this flesh, I buffet my body, he said. He pulls it back. He says, oh, there, buddy, you're way out of it. Hey, man, come on back on track. You know, when you get born again, when you're alive unto God, you're a new creature in Christ Jesus. And it's sad when new creations try to act like the old creation. Guess what? I died when I was 19, 20 years old. And if you acknowledge Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior, you're dead and your life is hid with Christ and God. And to try to go back in that is just does not work. Amen? It's like you're a racehorse now. Amen? You're a born-again racehorse and you belong there. You belong in a racehorse, but try to go back into things of the world. You're like a racehorse in a pig pen, with a donkey that doesn't want to even move. Stubborn donkey, and you're there and you're just mulling around. That's not for you. Because it's a place, you know, they're mules. They don't run. Racehorses belong on the track. And they need to be running. They need to be not floppy. They need to be just racing. Amen. And when you're born again, alive unto God, that's what you are. You're a new creature in Christ Jesus. And those who try to go back, guess what? It don't work. It don't work. It don't work. Why? Because you're a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things are passed away. You're clean. Your slate is clean. You're a new creature in Christ Jesus. And when you say that over and when you think on it, I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. That's the way I'm going to think. I'm going to think that I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. Galatians 5:17 or whatever it is says, you're a new creation in Christ Jesus. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. So that's what we got to do is get rid of those negative bad attitudes. Because if we think on those negative attitudes, guess what? We're going to start acting on those negative attitudes. And when we act on those negative attitudes, then it brings us down spiral, downhill. It goes down, down, down. I think I said this to the Bible school. I dare say that anybody who committed adultery or fornication, what did they do? Did you just end up one day in someone's bed? No. It went on in here. Meow. Amen? Someone who wanted to do certain things, guess what? At first it was here. Meow. And then it get down into their spirit. Brother Hagin tells a beautiful illustration of the Lord says, unto him, I want to tell you how people become oppressed by the devil, obsessed by the devil. Not possessed. If you're born again, you really can't have full possession, but you sure could act like it sometimes. But you could be oppressed. Amen. He says, a beautiful woman. He shows a lady who's married to a minister, and she was a good singer. Amen. How many good singers we got in the house? Eh? And so she was a good singer. And so the devil would come and whisper in her ear, you're a pretty woman, you're a good singer, you could have had fame, you could have had fortune, and here you are married to diddly-doo here and not experiencing the best that God, the best that you could have, not God have for you, the devil is not working that way, but anyways, the best. And she'd push it out of her mind, she'd push it out of her mind. Then a thought came again, you're a pretty woman, you're a good singer, you could have had fame, you could have had success, people would praise you, you would have all those things, I'd give it all unto you. And she'd push it away, time and time again, till one day, everybody say one day.
One day,
one day the thought came, you're a pretty woman, you're a good singer, you could have had fame, you could have had fortune, amen, you could have made it in the hockey league, hey, you could have did this, you could have did it, you could be the idol that everybody says, woo, sing it again, and you could have been the one that they would push up and say, you did it, you're great, and she said, I am pretty, amen, comes a time where we say, yeah, I am pretty, and I am a good singer, and I am married to diddly do there. And the moment she said it, Jesus says, a black dot came right in her head. And then the devil came again, and he said the exact same thing. He didn't fluff it up any other way. He says the same thing. You're a pretty woman. You could have had fame. You could have had fortune. You could have had great success. And she said, yes. And as soon as she said it, it got a little darker. Got a little darker, a little darker, a little darker. And then it went down from her head into her heart. Now, and then the last picture he showed, she was totally black from the top of her head to the soles of her feet. And Jesus said, now she's obsessed with this kind of thinking. She's absolutely obsessed with the thinking. She believes it, and that's all there is to it. She went after one guy. She went after another guy. She went after another guy. She went after another guy. Her husband tried to bring her back. He went to the motel room. She opens the door. She's wearing the long negligee, open right down the front. He says, as far as Jesus Christ is concerned, to hell with you and to hell with everything. Slam the door in his face. So that is somebody that's totally nuts. Amen. And now she was just totally controlled by wrong thinking, which turned into wrong actions. That's why I don't believe once saved, always saved. I believe God's got mercy, you know, to the high heavens. But he will do his very best to go above and beyond. But he will not force anybody against the will, against their own will. Usually people that miss it in sins, they feel bad about it. They know it's wrong. And you could feel the Spirit and the sense of the Spirit working on them. But this woman knew God very well and was manifesting the ministry and the gifts of the Spirit with her husband. And then to turn her back is totally out of this world. Amen. So what that lesson was how you become obsessed with thinking. Have anybody here acknowledged that they've had thinking patterns that they knew later on that they said, it's wrong. It's absolutely wrong. Amen. And so I've had that myself. And sometimes I've knelt in a bathroom. I said, Lord God, help me. Amen. Help me. Because it's wrong thinking. Thinking will lead to wrong actions. The next one is, so wrong thinking leads to bad attitudes, which of course would be wrong actions as well. But the fruits of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, humility, and self-control. When you ask Christ to come into your life, all those fruits are in there. But the opposites are also available as well. Not to walk in love. Not to walk in joy. That's why when you lose your joy, the joy of the Lord is your strength. And if you got no joy, you got no strength. You walk around, you know, like last year's bird nest. You're just all by yourself and you're all beat up looking. That's not God's best for you. Amen? And so but when we do what God's word says, then he helps us along the way. So these bad attitudes, we can have anger, strife, divisions, complaining. How many of you ever complained, eh? Said something and complained. Later on, I think, Lord, I don't have to complain. What do I got to complain? Pick me up and take me to a third world country. Take me to Syria and put me there. We'll see how the complaining stops, eh? We'll think all of a sudden, oh, Lord, thank you for your mercies are so new to us every morning. And we do, we will have tests all through this life. We will have trials and we will have temptations. But God said, I've made a way for you through my word, through my Spirit, what you said, amen, through forgiveness, through his grace, and through his mercy, we can run this race and come out on top, amen? So defeating bad attitudes, Romans 13, 4 to 14. This is all the more urgent for you to know how late it is. This is the word talking to us. And time is running out. Wake up, for our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is almost gone. The day of salvation will soon be here. So remove yourselves from dark deeds like dirty clothes. Remove yourself from dark deeds like dirty clothes. Put on the shining armor of light, of right living. Because we belong to the day. We must live decent lives for all to see. Don't participate in darkness of wild parties, drunkenness, sexual promiscuity, immoral living, quarreling, jealousy. Instead, clothe yourself with the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. And don't let yourselves think about ways to indulge the evil desire. Don't think about ways. Amen. Everybody say think. Again, when we got wrong thinking, it leads to wrong actions and wrong ways of doing things. Have an attitude of gratitude. Have an attitude of thanks. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of Christ in God in Christ Jesus. So thankful that he saved you. Amen? Thank you. Thankful that he redeemed you, that he filled you with the Holy Spirit. Thankful that healing is available. Even if you're not healed, does not matter. His will is healing. Amen? Him who himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. Who forgives all iniquities and heals all diseases, twofold, salvation and healing. And even if you're experiencing rough sailing, rough times, guess what? God is for us, he's not against us. And he wants to bring all of us out. Amen? Amen. And to have that firm foundation. You know, in a congregation, in a service, you guys are, and someone said it earlier, ground. You are ground. Your spirit is ground. This is seed of the word of God. And when the word is planted, guess what? Sometimes it falls on stony ground. Stony ground is those that hear the word, but the cares of this world, the lust of riches and the other thing come in and choke the word. It becomes unfruitful. Too much Hollywood, too much success in the world, too much fame and fortune, but God is not part of it because he's the one who blessed those people with knowledge and understanding, but they won't acknowledge him, that he's the one that graced them. Can be a singer, can be an inventor, can be somebody that succeeded in this life. God gave the wisdom and the knowledge, but they're not acknowledging him. And so God wants them to be successful, but he wants them to be acknowledging that God is the one that helps those people and has guided them. Amen? So what is this wrong thinking? This wrong thinking, we've got to think in line. Give thanks for salvation. Give thanks for the Holy Ghost. Give thanks for healing. Giving thanks for deliverance. Giving thanks for setting us free. Amen? Because the past is the past. And as good as you liked it or as bad as you liked it, it's gone. It's history. Amen? The last one here, I can't disposition. Have you ever said that? I can't? Amen? Sometimes people say, I can't live this Christian life. It's too hard. Well, Proverbs 13:15 says, the way of the transgressor is hard. Amen? You find somebody that's bound by alcohol, and our brother would know AA and worked with different things. I know pastors worked with the AA. And guess what? Being bound by alcohol, that is hard. Amen? That is a hard road to hoe. Being bound by things, that is a hard road. The way of the transgressor is hard. But the way of the Christian shouldn't be hard. The way of the Christian should be, thank you, Jesus, that you're good and your mercy endures forever. Thank you, Jesus, there's forgiveness available. Thank you, Jesus, that we're on the right track with you. We're here to hear and be healed. So back to that ground. So there's stony ground. There's also ground by the wayside. They don't even get to hear the word. The word is preached, but they don't hear it. The enemy comes immediately and takes it out. Or those by the, on their stony ground, there's thorny ground, that's the cares of this world, the lust of riches. But the stony ground are those that hear the word, and they're excited for a moment. And being in church, you know, Pastor Steve said he's here for 8 years. Well, bless God, I've been here for about 12. And Pastor's been here for 30. Amen? And so you hear a lot, and you see those people that they're excited about the word. Woo! God's got a plan. God's got a purpose for me. God loves me. He's forgiven me. He saved me. That's those that hear the word on rocky ground. You know, there's a rock that has a little bit of dirt and it springs up and it's so wonderful. These little plants that grow on rocks. But guess what? It only grows so far. And then it stops. That's why you got to continually be hearing the word of God. Continually be feeding on the word of God. Feeding on what God's word is saying. And then you can grow. And so it grows for a short time. And then it withers away because it's got no ground. Amen? You got to let those roots grow down deep, way deep. Amen? And so it doesn't grow and it dies. But they on good ground is those that hear the word and in an honest and a sincere heart say, yes, Lord, I believe that, I receive that. And then that seed grows. Some 30, some 60, some 100-fold. So bad attitudes. Amen? Bad thinking. And I can't do it. I can't do it. I can't do it. I can't live this Christian life. It's too hard. No, I live in a transgressive life, that is a hard row. Amen. The way of the transgressor, Proverbs 13:15, is hard. But Philippians 4:13, and Mrs. Hagin quotes this scripture all the time, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Doesn't mean that we have to be a brain surgeon, no. But we have to do what God wants us to do. Amen? His plan, His will, His desires. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, because greater is He that is in me than he that is in this world. Let's all stand and let's thank God for His word. Thank you, Father, for your word, which is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Thank you, Father, that greater is He that is in us than he that is in this world. Oh,